Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful May 14th, 2017 day. We're going to talk about, what is a student to me? I'm going to take a lashing today. So I thought it would be fun to hear some of the more, not derogatory, but kind of derogatory questions I get just for the heck of it. So, you know, I'm impartial to my own stupidity. So I think this will be a very interesting program for you. I want to remind you, if you enjoy this lashing, this gnashing of teeth of me, and you want to see it continue, of course, we need your support. You have to understand airtime costs money, and everything that correlates to radio and TV and everything is very expensive. And I hope that you will enjoy today's program, find some insight, and maybe become a sponsor. To become a sponsor is a very easy thing. This radio program you're listening to is only due to sponsorship. Only those people who care enough, understand, and can see the bigger picture of it all make donations so I can stay on the air. You know, it's very, very important. So if you find help here, if there's some insight here, if you find some laughter here, if you find a sense of your own spirit here, I hope that you will become a sponsor. Just go to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and you will see a button there that says support. And if you click on it, a menu will drop down and say why support Aspire. And you'll read all about where your donations go, how they serve humankind. And you can sign up right there and become a sponsor and start receiving the message of the month. You can go to a special place we have on the website where we have 122 discourses from all of the TV programs I did. When I make TV programs, typically I go into the modality of making separate audio CDs for them, get a little more insight for you. So they're all there and you can enjoy them for free and download them. You get my podcast, video cast, and commentaries every other week. So I hope you will become a sponsor and help us along. We need it. Well, what is a student and all of that? You listen to my radio programs or you watch my TV programs, many of you, and there is an impression you get about me. So I thought it would be fun and interesting, even on my part, to see what I'm going to say about the criticisms that many people have about me. And I thought, well, you know, this is what it's all about. Nobody likes you anyway, so why worry about it? Because I really don't. But I thought you might find this series very fun. Okay, so the first one comes from Frances, and she lives in Illinois, and that's all I'm supposed to tell you. You have little, if no appeal. Wow. What are your students like? What do they see in you? I just can't see it, Frances. Thank you, Frances. I don't know what you consider appeal. You know, I don't know. I don't know what that means to you. Are you talking about my sex appeal? Well, I don't have that. I used to when I was younger, but I don't anymore. I don't know what you call appeal. I don't know. I don't know what appeals to you. And I'm not in the market of trying to market myself to the appeal of an audience. And I have never, ever done that. I've always walked my own path, even to the chagrin of my colleagues and headquarters and all of that. And I just am my own person. So I don't know really what to say about my appeal to you. I'm not trying to appeal to you in any way, shape, or form. I'm trying basically to inform you first. That's all I'm trying to do. Now, there are many antics that I have done in the past, Zen antics, as I like to think of it, where I try to get your attention. And a lot of what I do is just to get your attention and then to take it and hopefully hone it in on something more profound. That's my hope, my wish, my dream. It really is. Whether or not I achieve all of that is up to you. I am not seeking to market you. I'm not seeking to go out there and think about what kind of person, you know, Frances is, and then think about what she would want or what would be appealing to her. I'm not a marketable thing. I'm just not. I'm not. There is nothing marketable about me. So you were asking here, I have little or no appeal. What are your students like? They're a cross between a lot of different things. They're extremely pedestrian. They're very human. They have a spark here and there of the divine that comes up within them, and it really is amazing when it does. They're funny, they're silly, they are very forgiving of their teacher, very forgiving. They seem to understand their teacher's sincerity and love for them, and he has a great deal of love for them, me. He has a great deal of love for them, and he cares very much about what goes on in their life and how to help them. He is not interested in numbers, so it doesn't matter to him if there's 1 or 1,000 there. He doesn't really care about that. He cares about the interest of what makes a person come into the room and sit with him. When I am teaching, I am very interested in what was it? What was that golden thread that drew you to me? I'm very, very curious about that. So I pay very strict attention to what a person's presence means at a retreat or a workshop or anything that I do. And I try to find deep inside them the same thing that I have. It's something called the sincerity quotient. And if you have a sense of sincerity about your life, and I'm not talking about the kind of sincerity where you're only interested in what happens to you and how much good you can get and how much happiness you can have and all of that. I do not believe in the pursuit of happiness. I believe in the pursuit of nothing. I am about the recognition of love. I'm only interested in a person recognizing the love that lives inside them. But for me to get to that place, Frances, is a very difficult thing with a student because I have to swim through so many things and barriers, past life barriers, mental barriers, emotional barriers, DNA, genetics. It is a real interesting fight on my side. What I've learned to do over the years is just float into it rather than force my way in. When I was younger, I would try to force my way in, but that didn't work. Not at all. I found that if you call them, they will come. And the people that come to me have been called. They get the what I call the tap on the shoulder to come and be with me, flow with me, until there is no more me, as it were. So I have a system of which I go about teaching in. First, I find out if they're sincere. And then second, how much insult they can take. Because spiritual work in the beginning is all about being insulted. I mean, you're going to find out that, well, like one student said to me, nothing I've ever done or ever do is right. Well, it's not right or wrong, good or bad, but I understand what they meant. their level and quotient of sincerity is only as deep as their desires for themselves to have some kind of fulfillment that they deem absolutely necessary for their life. So they get involved in that. So when I challenge that, it looks like it's insulting to them, although it's not meant to be, but it looks like it. And then they get all huffy and crazy, and there you go with that. And before you know it, they're out the door or whatever. It takes a great deal of courage, compassion, and sincerity to walk in a room and sit with me and move through the teachings and the gestalts and the meditations that I offer. And your sensibilities are going to be challenged. Your willingness is going to be challenged. You're going to be insulted by the fact that you thought life was this, and I'm trying to explain to you it's not. You're going to think you were the queen of Egypt, and you're going to find out you're a peasant. You're going to find out a lot of things that you didn't think were there. And you're going to blame the teacher. He always gets it. And that's okay. That's a part of the whole job description. But the thing is, it's about the betterment of you, trying to help you. So as Jesus said, Francis, blessed is he who is not offended in me. I say the same thing. Getting offended is not going to help anything. My students, what are they like? Oh, they're funny. They're caring. They're afraid. They're angry. They have all the same qualities any other human being has. And what do they see in me? Sometimes they see themselves. Sometimes they recognize the love that lives within the presence of their teacher and that it lives inside of them. And you'd really have to be here to understand all of that, because in the end, after all the wars are fought and all of the fearing and disappointments are done, they really realize I did it all for them. And it's a very, very wonderful thing. I hope that helps you, Francis. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. Perception is not reality in any way, shape, or form. Next one comes from Tina. What is the perfect student to you? I can't imagine anyone being a student of yours and the hell they must go through with you, Tina. What I don't look for a perfect student. I long gave that up years and years and years ago. What is the perfect student? There is no perfect. Anyone who comes to me, Tina, is perfect. Anyone who comes to a workshop and a retreat and starts meditating and work, they're perfect. They're absolutely perfect. And they are perfect right where they are. I don't have any designs on what they should be, what they'd better be. I don't have any idea about, you know, why they're there. They have to kind of find out for themselves. I don't try to dictate to them why they're there, what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing. I don't do any of those things. So when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of what it means to see the bigger picture here of a person's life, I'm looking at it from the point of view of what an honor it is to have them there. I consider it an honor, even if it's just a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Listen to me here, Tina. Try to understand. I don't know how old you are or what you've been through in your life. But inner work, spiritual practice, is hell. It is going through, in my case, the hell of Gregory. And for you, it would be the hell of Tina, if you ever choose to go through it. But it's worth it. And the hell is the resistance that we have. I remember when I went to India for the very first time, and I had to face my maker. I had to face me. I had to face the kind of person I was, the kind of stupidity I had. My parents had both just died. I was just a young, young buck, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And there I am, sitting there in India, wondering what the heck is going on here. And my mind was going at a clip, and I understand that. I wasn't a perfect student. Later, I became a willing student. And it didn't take long, a couple of weeks, and I started to realize, and here's the deal, Tina. We live in proportion to our sincerity for love. Everything we do, everything we are, is in proportion to the sincerity of the love that lives within us. If I am not sincere about finding the authentic love, then I have nothing in my life that is meaningful. And I go into my living as if I could get away with, well, existing in this world without love. And that's what people try to do. Everybody's in search of love, Tina. Everybody, whether they know it or not, they're in search of it. They're searching for the love that lives within them. They think it's love from other people, but actually it's the love that lives within them that they are searching for. And when you start finding out, Tina, the kind of person you and I have become over the lifetime we have lived with our mothers, our fathers, and the genetics and the family and the society we live in, it really becomes obvious that it's impossible to find anyone who's ever going to truly love us as a person. They're going to love us for the sake of why we love them, which is they're a convenience. In some way, we need them. And when you need someone, it isn't love. It's just avoidance. I'm trying to avoid doing the dirty work of loving myself. And people will tell you, you got to love yourself. You can't love yourself. The self can't love the self. It's impossible. So what you have to be able to do is step back from the self and begin to realize that this vessel called the human is here to help you along in this world, to come to a certain place inside where we do not live in duality anymore. And all of the crazy things we did in order to be loved, some terrible, some crazy, some ugly, some, you know, stupid, whatever we did, it's okay. You know, there's going to be karma, and I'm going to have to look at that karma and deal with it, which is very easy and a beautiful thing to do. But that's the way it was, and no one should be damned for that, myself or you. So when you ask what is the perfect student, I think the more perfect student for me is one who's had the crap kicked out of them in their life, and they're finally realizing, maybe there's something within me that I'm ignoring, and they're kind of curious about whatever that is. They don't know what it is. It's that golden thread, as I like to call it, that is pulling them through their life. And maybe I could look at that golden thread and understand it a little bit and come out the other end awakened. Maybe I could come out the other end without the need for the human to intervene or be a huge influence upon my life. It all depends on how you want to deal with it. But, Tina, the hell they go through is their own, not the one I put them through. I offer them the way. We have an old saying in Zen, don't bite my finger, look where I'm pointing. So if they bite my finger, that's their hell, their karma. They look where I'm pointing, they can drop their hell and come to a place called love, true love, magnificent love. Tina, life is a very personal thing. And what we do with it and how we deal with it is based largely on the level of our spiritual intelligence, the quota, the quotient of love that we can accept from within. And it has nothing to do with old Gregory and Tina. It has to do with something other than them. They are just pawns in this whole thing. And we give them way too much time, way too much character, way too much energy for them to be anything more than a social, psychological mess. And when you're done with all of that, and that's your and my hell, that's when we're ready to walk the path. Tina, thank you for your question. I deeply appreciate your courage. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This comes from Linda in San Diego. Greg, I miss you. I miss you and your teachings and your craziness. I will never forget when you came out on stage in a coffin at the Lyceum Theater for Easter. You are like no other teacher. By the way, why are you still teaching after all these years? Isn't it time to give it a rest, Linda? I don't know who Linda is. I really don't. No, it's not time to give it a rest. I'm going to die in my boots. It's not time to give it a rest. I'm trying to help more and more and more. If you look at the website at aspire.org, Linda, there is probably more there than any other teacher I know of. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of discourses and many, many videos and all sorts of stuff to be of service to you. And it's all there due to the whole idea of sparking one moment in you of authenticity, one moment of beauty, one moment of, oh, that's it, where you get it on your own. And then you see everything I've tried to do from being lowered on a on a rope, you know, at the Lyceum Theater at Easter, to coming out in a coffin, trying to get a point over to you of letting go. Letting go of the things that need to be let go of, letting go of the things that don't need to be there, of a bigger picture in life. Instead of us living a smaller picture, we live a bigger one. I get tired. I'm old. I'm very old now. And I still have that thing in me that says, keep giving, keep sharing, keep giving, keep sharing. I try to find new ways of doing it. I try to find new ways of serving humankind. I do everything I possibly can to make that possible. So there you are. I guess you're trying to get rid of me, or you're trying to say I'm too old to do this, but I don't feel that way. And my efforts are still to serve humankind in the most unique way. And you have to understand that. This is very, very important to me that I'm able to help you. So, Linda, you're listening to this radio program via an old man, you know, I'm ancient, and people who help me and support me to be able to have this message for you, my sponsors. This is what it's all about. I still go to hospice. I do tons of counseling. I'm very, very active, and I'm doing the things that I can do to help people. So the question really isn't about, why are you still teaching? The real question seems to me, my darling Linda, whoever you are, why aren't you here? You're missing the show. You're missing so much. I know it would probably be a very big inconvenience to you, but maybe you ought to consider coming up and being with me. I'll be very honored to have you. I'm going to be down in Encinitas in the next couple of weeks on the, I think, the 20th, and you could next week, you could be with me, and we could talk this over and have a good time with each other and maybe laugh. I hope that helps you, Linda. Please forgive me and my crazy Zen annex and trying to serve you and get your attention, because that's all I'm really trying to do. It's all I've ever really wanted, was just your attention. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Thank you for a wonderful week. I want to thank my questioners. If you have a comment or question, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see media. If you click on that, you'll see Satsang with Siraj. That be me. And you can email me from there. Or you can just email me at greg@aspire.org. It's really that easy. And I hope you do. Have a beautiful weekend. And thank you for listening. Again, please forgive me. Namaste.